Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about making the best decisions about your career search. Have you ever been offered a dream job only to find out that it really wasn't all it was cracked up to be? My guests are Natasha Saunders. She is an executive career coach, and Janet Owens, career advisor and business consultant. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise I will take your phone calls. Before the break, we were talking to Eric. Eric is in one job, offered another, is concerned about homework balance, stress, more money, more problems. If you're close to your wife, don't take the job. If you're not, take the job. No, I'm just kidding. But if, what should he do? I mean, this is a very, very complicated situation. So let us assume he's a 10-year professional. He's not a rookie.
Yeah.
So he already knows where he is. How does he make a decision about where to go?
Well, I think the first thing that he has to understand that, you know, coming in early and leaving late and making sure that everything is done is just, it's the nature of leadership. You just have to work hard. So even if you go find another job and you're in a leadership position, it just comes with the territory. But I would wonder, since he's now the controller and
he's
the
not
boss,
yet. That's the job.
Or when he becomes the controller, do you have the ability to create some new policies? For example, maybe some telecommuting where you can work from home 2 days a week. I mean, unless you're doing some sort of classified accounting, so many companies are using that solution to provide a work-life balance. So when you become this controller, do you think you can influence policy so that everybody can have a little bit more work-life balance?
Okay. Your thoughts about that, Natasha?
It was actually similar along those lines. I want to encourage him to look up something called BATNA. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's BATNA. And it's a tool used for negotiation. Everything is negotiable. So my question to you is, if you're still interested, maybe go back to the table. The money is right, but maybe the hours can be adjusted. Maybe the vacation time can be 4 weeks or 5 weeks instead of 4 weeks. So I feel like maybe some of those concerns that you have, you can map them out on paper. What are my pros? What are my cons? If I work this many hours, does my wife okay? Is she okay with that? Do I pick my children up from school so I can't work that many hours? Or where's my vacation time or the telecommuting? So I feel like you should take a moment and just kind of map it out on paper, my pros, my cons, and then the variables that exist, the location, the driving, the family obligations, children. But if it's a career advancement and you have that support, then it might be worth taking. But you definitely need to kind of map those things out.
Okay. Eric, thank you so much for your phone call. We appreciate it. Good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Noah, calling from Virginia. Is that correct? Noah, are you there?
If you'd like to.
Guess not. Give us a call back if you can. Crystal, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, two things. Is it possible to get the contact information of both of these wonderful ladies? And secondly, my daughter is taking a summer internship with a major company in San Francisco this summer. Will she feel obligated to, after graduation, to work for them because of the internship? Or how does she decipher if it's, after working for them, it wasn't really for her? But I would like their contact information also, please.
Well, let's do that first. And by the way, the contact information will also be posted on WHUR.com this evening after about 8:30. But for those who are interested in finding out more about you, Janet, is there a website that they can go to or other contact information?
Absolutely. You can either Google Janet L. Owens or you can go to CareerEssentialsInc.com.
CareerEssentialsInc.com. CareerEssentialsInc.com, CareerEssentialsInc.com. And what about you, for you, Natasha?
You could go to my website. It's TheYouthCareerCoach.com, TheYouthCareerCoach.com.
Okay, and as I said, that information will be posted on the website tonight after about 8:30 or so. So let's go to the question. Daughter interning in San Francisco, should she feel obligated to work for that company after the internship is finished if the job is offered?
My personal opinion is no, because sometimes once you get inside of a company, you realize what you thought was happening on the outside, it's really not happening. You know, maybe the leadership opportunities is not there. The technology is bad. You know, there's no career path or development. And you get into a company and sometimes the culture is just not right. You know, culture is very important to young people. You know, if you go to work for Deloitte and Touche, they're going to make you wear pantyhose and really professional gear every day. Whereas if you work for Honeywell, you know, you can probably wear, you know, your khaki. So I think the student has to, you know, understand what's really important to them. And once they get into an organization, it's going to help them to determine whether or not they want to be there. But no, they have no obligation. They go there, they give their time, they get paid. Sometimes the internship is not paid. And once they leave, you know, they have information on which they can act.
Mm-hmm. Natasha.
So first, I'd like to say congratulations. That's just so amazing. And now is a perfect time to plan. So I would encourage her to not think about taking a job yet without an offer. Wait until she's about halfway to three quarters of the way through the internship. Once she walks through the door, really the focus should be the environment, and am I doing a good enough job? And then connecting with other students, sitting down with managers and executives, interviewing them, shadowing as many people as she can, and doing well in her current internship. And then about halfway through, then maybe meet with mom, meet with a professor, meet with an advisor to kind of debrief. How is my experience going? Do I like this environment? Do I like the people that I'm working for? And then once you have that conversation, you can kind of look at what you're doing and then also maybe explore other avenues within your organization while you're an intern. You can ask them, have interns stayed in this department upon completion, or have they transferred into other departments within the organization? And so once you do that, I think you'll have better footing. So first, congratulations. Second, just let her enjoy the process. Third, once she's halfway through, then have that conversation with mom and debrief her experience and then plan the rest of her time there. And then she'll better know whether or not this would be a good fit.
Some students do more than one intern. And what I would advise is don't do the intern at the same company. Do interns at different companies. It's going to help you understand what's out there, and it's going to help you understand yourself and what you're really looking for.
Okay. Well, Crystal, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call and your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about making the best decisions about your career search. And have you ever turned down a dream job? Let's talk to Jacob. Jacob, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jacob, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Hey, I have a comment for the gentleman who called in.
Jacob, I'm going to need you to call me back. You're breaking up, and you may have your convertible down because I know it's nice outside. So can you do me a favor and just call us back and we will take your call, okay? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jackie, calling from D.C. Jackie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just wanted to say that when people stumble into or find their dream job, they must understand that sometimes it comes with a sacrifice. I found the perfect job. I thought it was wonderful. I had support of my family. Supervisor was wonderful. Stress level was low. But the problem was I had to travel every 2 weeks. Well, I had a young daughter, and I couldn't do that, so I had to give that job up and go back to a stressful job. But it was the sacrifice that I had to make at the time. Hmm. So.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jackie, which brings me to this question again. You know, Natasha, it's a generational issue because I often wonder, and we've certainly heard, you know, stories about comfort levels for younger career-oriented people who want it all. and I don't think that is a jab, but I do think that you could argue that it is a reality for some people who, some could argue, don't expect to pay dues. They do expect, high salaries. They don't expect to have to do a side hustle. They do expect to be close to the president or, as they say, a heartbeat away from CEO of the company, you know, 1 week after they've been on the job. Is that inaccurate?
It is an accurate statement for a particular demographic of students that have worked hard enough to not have to do the second job.
Explain that.
So, meaning, I have some students that I have worked with that get A's in school, that do the internships every year, that do the informational interviews, that when they say, Natasha, I want to go to an MBA program, and I say, well, come back to me when you score above a 700. I can't help you get into an Ivy League school if you don't score above a 700. And they do what they need to do and come back and say, Natasha, I did it. So it comes with a sacrifice and a discipline, and those students get into those top schools, do exceptionally well, and they do come out making six figures. My students make that type of money. So I think my role is I don't discount those that want that lifestyle. What I do is show them what you have to do in order to have that, in order to come out of school making six figures.
But aren't there job sacrifices, or I should say sacrifices beyond school that should be made, or that there should be some expectations that not every dream job is going to be a bed of roses, and that every person that starts at the Silicon Valley firm or at the engineering firm or at the, you know, at the law firm is not going to make partner by the end of the week.
Yeah, I kind of think that with young people, unfortunately, their expectations are unreasonable coming into the workforce. And our generation, you know, we understood that we had to start at the bottom. And we had to work our way to the top. And what young people don't understand that in doing that, you're building a foundation, because it's not just about you being a good engineer or whatever you are. It's about when the winds blow. You know, you don't have a foundation. I mean, in 2008, the banks failed. The auto industry failed. There were no jobs, you know, those sorts of things. And the winds were blowing. And the people who made it through that were the people who had a foundation. You know, they spent 15 years, 20 years really building their subject matter expertise. So they were able to make it through that time. There were a lot of people who failed through those hard times. So what young people have to understand, this is not a microwave thing.
But hold on, because what do you say to them when they say, I don't have to do that? Because it's, you know, the recession is over. And jobs are plentiful. And I have five jobs that have been offered to me. And I'm sitting in Big Mama's house waiting to make a decision. I'll let you react to that on the other side of the break.
Okay.
We're also going to talk to Ashley in Maryland. And Aisha, I believe that is, calling from Baltimore. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Turning down a dream job. Why would you do that? We're helping you navigate the best decisions about your career search. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we continue our conversation about making the best decisions about your career search. Have you ever been offered a dream job only to find out that it wasn't what it was cracked up to be. So before the break, I posed this question to Janet about, you know, talking to, you know, millennial about the options that they may have regarding their career search. And if they tell you, I have several, you know, positions offered, I have the familial support, so I'm just sitting in the cut waiting. What do you tell them?
Well, you know, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that they understand that as you work, you're making mistakes on somebody else's dollar. And what happens is you get to that point in your life where you want to become a consultant or a business owner, or you want to be in a very high level responsible position. I don't know about you, but, you know, I recently had surgery. I don't want a 24-year-old surgeon walking through the door. I want to know somebody has some experience, some practice. You know, you've made some mistakes on some other folks before you start working on me. So I think that young people have to understand that you can be very smart, but people really like to see you get some experience, because you have to really understand the impact of the decisions that you make, the long-term, short-term impacts. And that comes with time. It doesn't come with an education. The education gives you the practices and principles and ideals by which you can apply. But there's some things that you just have to learn through on-the-job training. And so I would tell young people that you just have to be patient and learn the things that you have to learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me go back to the phone lines.
I have to go through the process.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ashley, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. So I just wanted to add to the topic for tonight. So my reality, while I was in college, I did everything I could to make sure that, you know, my opportunities when I came out of college would be better. So I had the opportunity to do a big internship and just volunteer and ultimately, like, build my resume. So the internship that I was doing at that time was with the Fortune 500, and it was within their automation department. So I graduated in engineering. And at the end of that internship period, I got offered a position as being a software engineer. However, when I was at that point to make that decision whether I wanted to pursue that opportunity or not, I decided to give that up because I knew that my heart was not fully in it. And then, unfortunately, after, you know, declining that offer, I fell into that bucket of recent graduates that had a hard time finding a job. So I ended up, you know, relocating halfway across the world, went to Asia, and worked for a nonprofit organization, and I ended up finding my purpose. I found that, you know, my dream job is not necessarily should be tagged to a price tag. And my dream job is something that will not be obtained in a sprint. It's going to be a journey. And that's just where I am right now. I'm back in the States trying to ultimately finesse my skills, build on my skill set, and be in a better position down the road so that I can revisit what I did previously.
Interesting story. What are you hearing from her, Natasha, when she tells that story?
Pardon?
I'm talking to Natasha. I wanted to get one of my panelists to react to your story.
I agree with it being a journey, and it's a case by case. So if her heart led her across the country to finding her passion, then that's terrific. And so on my other side of, well, we're back here. Now we need to make some money, have a job, a place to live, save for retirement, and move forward. We need to think about where we are now in that process. So I think if she can just use her passion and that experience that she found that gave her some enlightenment, and then maybe connect with a mentor, past professors, past students, and just see how she can turn that into a career now that she's he's back in the States. That's my only concern now is the what's next.
Okay. Ashley, thank you so much. You wanted to say something, Janet?
Well, I just applaud her for following her heart, because so many people don't do that. And then they get stuck in a rut, and they get stuck in a job that they actually they just despise. And they get up and go to work every morning feeling like they're stuck. So I applaud you for that. Are you still a software engineer? Or what are you doing now?
Now I'm in a bit different field. So I'm in IT.
You're in IT.
But mm-hmm. I can honestly say that I'm happy that I followed my heart. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a destiny, and their destiny will lead them to the right place. And I think it's important, you know, for all those recent graduates that are coming out this year or, you know, find themselves in that bucket trying to find a job, they should consider that it's not about instant gratification, and that they should, you know, think about the long term and, you know, how they're rate their comfort level within a position that they're going to take, and just think about all the variables that go into that job, and just be smart about that decision and not think about the paycheck.
Okay. Well, good luck to you, Ashley, and thank you so much for sharing in this conversation. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Aisha, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'm calling in to share that many of the students that I work with through my nonprofit, I'm OK, here in Baltimore, I find that our high school students, a lot of them are questioning what to do. Like, how do they take their interests and connect their interests to future employment and opportunities? And I just believe that in this digital space, we're better off arming our kids with more questions than answers, teaching them, you know, mental agility and the ability to pick up, like the young lady that just spoke, and go across the world to kind of connect with their passions, but also to see things through like a supply chain of innovation and look for opportunities along that pathway, as opposed to, you know, a rigid view on what type of opportunities are out there for them.
I think that one of the things that a young person can do, even starting in high school, is begin to conduct what you call an informational interview. Natasha just mentioned that briefly. I don't know if anybody caught on to it. But an informational interview is when you find experts out in the field that you think you want to be in, and you call them up and you say, hey, I'm a high school student. I just graduated from college, or whatever the situation is. And you ask them, you know, can I take you to lunch? The only thing I want to do is get your perspective on the industry. For example, if somebody thinks they want to be a real estate agent, what they would do is maybe go online to LinkedIn and type in real estate agents and find real estate agents, or maybe somebody knows real estate agents, and they would maybe find 10 people in the industry, a diverse set of people, maybe 3 real estate agents, 2 bankers, 2 construction people, you know, and just take them to coffee or take them to lunch and let them know, I just want to get your perspective on the industry. You know, generally taking people to lunch works, because I always tell people, everybody got to eat, you know. So most people be like, hey, I don't want to deal with this pesky kid. Well, you got to eat. And if I'm taking you lunch and it's close by your place and I'm not taking you away from your job and you want my perspective on the industry, you know, yeah, I want to give you my perspective. That's a win-win situation. So I would encourage young people to do your research and start young, high school, while you're in college. Find subject matter experts in the area that you think you want to be in and get their real life perspective at that time on what that job is like. And you can ask them questions like, well, how did you get where you are? Or, what's good about being a real estate agent? What's bad about being a real estate agent? The gentleman who called earlier, I think his name was Eric. Perhaps if he would have done an informational interview, somebody with a controller, they would have said, hey, you know, once you reach controller level, you're working day and night. You know, he would have had that information. So it's a good technique for young people to use to get out there and gain an understanding on what's really happening in the industries that they're interested in.
Advice for Aisha and Natasha.
I would add, since my colleague spoke about the students, I'm going to add some responsibilities to the adults who mentor these students and oversee these students in a classroom setting, a nonprofit setting, the YMCA, whatever it is, that you tap into your network and ask your community of influence to come in and speak to your students. And so I've never had anybody reject that opportunity. I've sent out calls all the time for professionals to come in to speak to my students. And I think that would be a great exposure if the student doesn't quite know yet how to navigate finding these contacts. And what do I say if I sit down with them one-on-one? But I think she would be in a great place to bring some leaders to the community to talk to the students.
Well, Aisha, thank you so much for sharing with us. And I really appreciate your phone call. And good luck as you continue to mentor these young people and drive them in the right direction when it comes to their career. So again, thank you so much. I think that's a good place to end this conversation, and certainly giving some food for thought, whether you are a millennial or whether you are parenting a millennial, either way. So Natasha Saunders and Jenna Owens, thank you both so much. And again, information to find out more about my panelists will be on WHUR.com a little bit after 8:30. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141.